sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Do you have any Masters hot takes? I think Tiger misses the cut. It's my Masters
hot
take.
I was shocked that Will said that he thought he was going to make it.
He's made every one.
He's a totally different Tiger Woods. I mean, you and I had a bet last year, and I felt like he was in a different place. But just watching him physically, I don't think he's anywhere even close to where he was a year ago. I think he's fallen that much off in terms of his flexibility.
I think we get a winner that's outside of the top 10 in the world golf rankings. I don't know who it's going to be. I have no idea who it's going to be. What are your Masters hot takes? You have one, Brian? Brian didn't watch golf.
No, not really.
Yeah, he didn't watch golf. Will you watch golf this weekend?
Probably not.
Wow.
Well, I'll hold on. I'll take that back. If Tiger was in contention on Sunday, I would watch.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who's a guy with experience. Like
Fred Couples.
No, Freddie plays well there.
Vijay Singh.
No, but you know the one, and the one that's the biggest joke, because no matter how much he's far gone on the senior tour, Bernard Langer always plays his tail off there and ends up like the first 2 days somewhere near the top of the leaderboard and falls off. But now I think it's too. I just don't think he's even got that in him. But I'm just thinking of guys that maybe in that kind of ilk, but a little younger, might still have a chance because they played well there in the past. Like Mike Weir, I don't think is one of those guys.
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think if there's a guy. Freddie used to be that guy. I don't know who that next generation of veteran player that might be able to find it because he knows the course.
Zach Johnson.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a young man's game.
That's the one course where you don't have to pound it in order to score well.
No, but you're going to have to hit the long irons well. And yeah. I think it's young man's game. But I mean, every now and then you'll have a guy who's, I'm not going to say contention, like he's on the leaderboard. Fred Couples did it for years.
Like,
Mickelson had a good finish last year.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't like the fact that his schedule is so light now, but I think Phil's one of those guys where he could step onto the grounds there and he's got a legit chance because he's another guy that's got the map. He's got the recipe for playing well there.
Will you watch the Masters this week? 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Jose Abreu got demoted. He's batting eighth.
Oh, good. I mean, I thought you were going to say that he got flat out set to the bench or better, but if he's batting eighth, that's fine. You and I talked about that the other day. I'm totally fine with that. I'm not worried about his feelings. I'm worried about this lineup. I don't need him in the top five or six guys in this lineup for the foreseeable future because he's been embarrassing.
He's batting eighth, and he got pinch hit for yesterday by Victor Caratini. Like, tell me that you don't belong in a roster without telling me you don't belong on a roster. That's tweet-worthy there. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What position could the Texans fix or address in the second round? They have 2 second-round picks, by the way. That would have the most positive impact on their potential.
I personally feel like because of the fact that it seems to be a deep draft at corner, and because no matter what guys you're bringing in to try and find the pot of gold that a guy was just on the wrong team in the wrong situation with Okuda and CJ Henderson, I think if they get a corner in the second round with the first of their two picks, that they could do a whole lot of good, that they could give a guy, whether he starts right away or he's a guy that can learn and compete with those two guys early on, and if he shows what he's got, I think he could help this team this year, I think sooner rather than later. And of all the different guys, I think the defensive tackles that they've brought in are good enough to do what they need the middle of the line to do to kind of complement the pass rushers. So I'll say corner.
I'm curious to see what kind of corners are there in this draft because I think there's a good amount of corners that, that are available. I wonder if there's a corner run and it kind of limits who the Texans, you know, who they have high on their board or whatever. Now, I think Casario is also somebody who is willing to target a guy and trade up six spots to make sure that he gets his guy. That's certainly been his MO. He's a Will and Dylan son of a gun. It's hard not to go corner. Like, I'm with you on corner.
I think to your point too, Jeremy, I think that the run could be on wide receiver. I think that normally if it's one position group, the other position group, maybe you benefit if you're a team looking for that. I think I could see a run on wide receiver to where there's going to be some corners that push down into that area for them.
Yeah. I think there's different waves of receiver in this draft, though. Like, you have your elite receivers who are all going to be gone by, like, the top 10 picks. Then you have, like, your second tier of receivers who I can see kind of being late first round, early second. And then I think you have your third tier of receivers who are, like, good, solid players that have potential. But I'm also, like, I don't know if the Texans are going to be interested in that as much because they have a really full wide receiver room and they have a trio of receivers that some people think is the best receiver trio in the NFL. So I don't think that they're going to have wide receiver that targeted on their draft board. If they love a guy in the third round and he's their top guy, I could see him doing it. But I don't think that that's a position that they're going to be, you know, hell-bent to go get. A defensive tackle would be one that comes up here. I was talking to Lance a little bit before the show. He said that he likes a lot of these defensive tackles, like in third or fourth round. So maybe you can find a guy who's starter quality without actually using a second-round pick. That would be the dream draft, right? Like, you find a defensive tackle who is starter-worthy, a one-tech. You draft a corner at pick number 42. Maybe you throw in a running back somewhere in the mix there, too, because I really want a running back on this team. Your running back room right now, outside of guys who are on future deals, or is Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. Like, you need help in that room. And I like, that's the one position I would bet a lot of money that the Houston Texans draft.
I agree with that, but I also can see them bringing in another veteran running back before camp starts.
Oh, I could, too.
Yeah.
They might be both. I mean, you're going to have four.
I think that's right. I think that they will draft one in the fourth or fifth round, but I think that they will sign another one that might be beneficial to help in case, whether injury or otherwise, I think could be better than Pierce on a down-by-down basis. So I'm with you. I'm curious on the defensive tackle front, who slides. Because, I mean, obviously with Sweat, with the arrest, maybe that he slides a little bit. I'm curious if Johnny from Illinois.
Johnny Newton?
Johnny, who was a late first projected to be the Texans where they had their first earlier on. Some of the latest drafts, I've seen him moving around a little bit. Maybe he slides, but I don't know that they're going to take him in the second round.
Yeah. What is your position, Brian?
I'm with Joel. It'd be corner. Defensive tackle is a good answer, too, but it'd be corner because to me, like a lot, even though it's not the only hole they have on the roster, to me, not only is it the worst or the spot that they need the most help in, but I think if you get a quality player there, I just think it does more for, you know, any other group on the team. Like, if look, we think they have a great pass rush, and I'll go even beyond think they have a great pass rush. They will have a great pass rush, but the pass rush isn't going to get there on every single play. So if you have cornerbacks that you're worried about, you already have questions about your safeties as well, and you're worried about them getting beat deep, if you take that question mark away, at least a decent amount by adding a starting caliber corner there with one of your picks in the second round, then all of a sudden that eliminates some of the weak spots in your defense. And then I don't know where the other offenses facing the Texans go on a play-to-play-by-play basis to actually make something happen.
9789, there would definitely be a run on place kickers. Huge need for the Texans. Texans locked up there, guy. They have Emi.
They did.
Emi's here for good. Ocho, the popular answer will probably be to draft a run-stopping defensive tackle, but I think they should draft Xavier Legette to make up for renting Diggs. Legette's the guy with the amazing voice out of South Carolina. You don't like him as a player? Or you don't like the idea of drafting receiver? Yeah, he's got a good voice.
I don't like fifth-year breakouts.
That's right.
You look at his stat page. It's under 200 yards each of the first four seasons in college football, that all of a sudden year five, after being under 200 yards his first 4 years, he breaks out when he's, what, a 23-year-old playing against 19-year-olds in some cases? So, no, I'm a hard pass on that.
I'm curious in your guys' opinion, what's third on the list, and or another way to phrase this, do you think that they draft a safety and an offensive lineman, and if so, when?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm banging on the offensive line.
Both.
Yeah.
I honestly think, because again, you guys know, I think they should have already cut Jimmy Ward. I believe they need another safety. If there's a veteran that they have their eye on that they can get cheap as we get closer to camp, great. But there's got to be a couple more options before camp starts. I could see them looking at a safety starting in the third round.
I think you have to cut Ward for that, though.
Like, he's just going to be a backup.
Like, you have three safeties currently on the team with Petrie, Ward, and then Murray, and Lonnie Johnson-ish, kind of a hybrid position. Like, you don't have to cut him. He saves you a few bucks, but, like, you're in the time of the offseason now where you're saving money for what exactly? Like, you've kind of done all of your heavy lifting.
Well, what if you can get a veteran and you cut him and use some of that money to go?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, put a little extra in a guy that might have a little left in the tank.
If it's necessary to cut Ward in order to do that, great. But if you have $10 million, like, you know, in excess, and Jimmy Ward's only going to save you $5 million, yeah, like, there's no need to cut him. He can just be your third safety. A safety would be cool in the draft. Guard, I'm a fan of left guard. I think that someone needs to win the left guard job for the Houston Texans.
I'd be fine with left guard, but honestly, I'd be fine if they went with their 2 second round picks, corner, safety in some order. Because I mean, this league, as we've seen, obviously is only going to go more and more pass happy as the year goes by. Teams spend, you know, the majority of their time in their nickel and their sub packages, not in their base formation. And that's really your biggest need. I mean, it's across the secondary. It's not just the safety. It's not just corner. It's two different position groups there. Of any place on the field, you know, outside of obviously quarterback, I don't want to be thin in my secondary going up against the elite passing offenses in the NFL.
I don't want to be thin in offensive line or defensive line. I want some bulky players
but
there.
To me, you're better off right now, as it stands right now on paper, because, you know, we'll see. But you're better off right now on paper on the offensive line than you are in the secondary.
713-780-ESPN. What is the answer for you? 713-780-3776. I was just informed, by the way, that Bernard Longer, mm-hmm. you tore his Achilles.
Oh,
a month and a half ago.
I had no clue.
So we could,
I just know that he's always been really good at the Masters, no matter how old he is.
Bernard Longer is a great golfer. I love his swing. Just fluid.
Just smooth.
He's the father-in-law. Is it a pitcher? He's the father-in-law of somebody like famous.
Really?
Bernard Longer, yeah.
You know, he's kind of like the next version of Gary Player, where he's Mr. Physical Fitness and he always keeps himself in great shape. Mm-hmm. But yeah, his game always translates at Augusta.
He's on the Branham exercise plan. That's what it is. Mel Kiper 2-round mock draft is out today. We don't always make mock drafts great again because the Texans don't have 2 first-round picks or even one anymore because Nick Caserio traded out of it. But every now and then, we like to make mock drafts great again. We'll make mock drafts great again today. Who does Mel Kiper have the Texans taking? And then who would we take if we were in that spot? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I know that who I would take if I needed to repair a pothole. It's Third Rock Renewables. Third Rock Renewables is the best in the business when it comes to repairing potholes for a couple of reasons. One, they do it in a process that's greener than anybody else who's going to repair potholes, and they also do it in a way that's cheaper than anyone else who's going to repair potholes, and it's better. Like, you fix a pothole and then it comes back weeks later. That's not the case with Third Rock Renewables. Maybe you need a new parking lot, maybe a new road, maybe a new laydown yard. Whatever you need, if you need a pothole fixed, Third Rock Renewable is the name you need to know. Patented technology, which is called mechanical concrete. It's the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base which transforms end-of-life tires into an indestructible building product. So you're saving the lives of these end-of-the-road tires, and you're fixing your potholes for cheaper while you're also helping out the environment. It's great on all fronts. Call Third Rock Renewables now to fix your pothole, 713-305-0507. Fix that pothole now with mechanical concrete, which, again, cut your maintenance costs by 75% or more while lowering your carbon emissions. Also, if you mention to Third Rock Renewables that you heard about them on ESPN 97.5, 20% off your total bill. So call now, 713-305-0507. Take advantage of the discount. ThirdRockRenewables.com. ThirdRockRenewables.com.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, I got 4:18:30. Put a clock on it. Put a clock on it. It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We don't always make mock drafts great again because Texans traded out of the first round, so it kind of eliminates the fun of it, quite frankly, doesn't it? Eliminates the fun of who the Texans could pick because you don't know the prospects at 42 as well as you would know the prospects at 23. That wasn't bad. 25 seconds?
Yeah, that's not bad at all. We've had worse.
I thought that was a longer break, actually. My fault. I got caught up at top.
I think that's flex, talking to the suits upstairs.
No, it's like, it was not a flex. It was a, hey, I can't exactly cut that conversation short and say I don't have time for you.
That's the That's a flex that all the ladies are using now. I was talking to Todd.
That doesn't sound...
The ladies?
Yes.
In the office?
Whoever. The entire city of Houston. The population of ladies.
Talking to Todd.
Talking to Todd.
Todds are popular with the ladies?
No, that Todd.
That Todd
specifically
is
that Todd.
All right.
Not all Todds. I can't speak for all Todds. I can speak for one Todd.
I don't know. As a name, I would say Todds would be towards the bottom of the list for the ladies.
What is that supposed to mean?
Wow.
I don't know. I mean,
I would go look, Bryant.
I like the Todd here, but have you met a lot of cool Todds? I haven't.
I used to work with a
Same thing like Chads. There's not a lot of cool
One of my
Chads.
Best friends growing up was named Todd. I don't know how the cool factor
I mean,
is.
Todd Helton took advantage of the offensive numbers at Coors Field. Well, the only other Todd that I knew was a golf pro back whenever I worked at Atascocita Country Club when I was in high school. And he was a fun guy, but thinking back on it, he was kind of weird.
Yeah.
He was a little weird.
Todd is...
You going to bring this up Friday?
What do you mean?
Well, you work with one temporarily on Fridays.
Todd?
Mm-hmm. Todd Callis.
Oh, I forgot about Todd Callis. That's a good Todd.
Oh, okay.
That's a good Todd.
I take it back. It's just Chad's now, not Todd's.
Yes.
It's just what?
It's just Chad's, not Todd's now.
Are Chad's bad?
Hanging Chad's? He brought it.
No, go rate the joke 1.2.
Are you trying to say with like the ugliest men based on their name?
No, not ugly. Just kind of.
Todd the show.
Todd the show.
I mean that tracks though. That one tracks.
I don't know. Just kind of D-bag behavior. Chad is a name you usually associate with guys who maybe don't act the best.
Yeah.
Chad's a name that's right up there.
I don't think I know a Chad.
Maybe Todd was personal experience.
I do.
That I had,
we talked about him. Chad was the social media guy that did the horse head and the gun.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know that. I don't know that guy.
Chad Clay.
We've talked a little bit. I'm not like friends with him though. Like he didn't have my number. I don't have his number.
Chad Hendricks that played at U of H. I tell you.
Never heard of him.
No, you looked him up though, remember?
Not really.
I said he had played at U of H.
I remember the story. I remember the story, but I don't remember the, I didn't remember the name. My cousin reminds me that Todd, the golf pro I was telling you about, he took us to the Barry Bonds game where he hit a 700 career home run. But he was also like, I don't know, in his early 30s hanging out with high school kids.
Yeah.
See, it's kind of weird. That's what I mean.
Questionable behavior.
Like we thought we were cool hanging out with these like, late 20, early 30 dudes. But thinking about it in hindsight, I wouldn't do that when I'm 28, 30, 31 years
That's
old.
You wouldn't want your kids doing that.
I mean, that was like we were driving. We were like junior seniors,
Chad
I think.
Chad Qualls.
Yeah, he had the hair though and the bleached blonde, so that kind of checks out.
He kind of had the mid 2000s frosted tip look. Yeah, I think Chad Qualls fits into questionable Chads.
Yeah, and it would be. I think Chad Qualls does fit into questionable Chads.
He has the look of a Chad.
Todd from Community was the worst Todd, says Wheatstraw. I don't remember watching. I've seen a couple of episodes, but I don't know the character well.
I've watched Community a lot. I don't remember Todd on that show.
I've only seen it like three or four times. 5155, what about the Todd from the TV show Scrubs? High Five? That's another show I only watched a handful of times.
Yeah, I haven't watched that a
lot. We don't watch anything.
That's true. I knew you were
I can't think of it like, yeah.
That's not true. I watch some shows, but I mean.
Well, the 30,000 pound sisters.
No, I mean, okay, Chicago Hope, Chicago Fire, Chicago. The Chicago shows are good.
Is there any?
Joe would be so proud. Joe would be happy.
What's the New York detective show with
NYPD Blue?
No, nice, funny. Hill Street Blues.
What do you mean?
Would have been even
I thought that was
answer.
Legitimately what you were talking about.
No, I can't.
Blue Bloods.
No, it's the one with Mariska Hargitay.
The Commish.
No, that
remember
was
that
good
show?
Too,
that show was awesome.
It was really good.
That show was great. I love that show.
Is that the one with Tom Selleck? Oh, that's Blue Bloods. Blue Bloods is Tom Selleck.
I don't know the commish's name, but I know what he looks like. Kind of chubby, like white guy.
Kind of like, older white guy. Right?
Yeah.
Blue Bloods was Tom Selleck and the other Wahlberg. Donnie
Wahlberg?
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg. Was
I don't
one
think
of the
I would
detectives.
Like that show.
It was actually a pretty good show, or it might still be on. I don't know. But what's the New York one with Mariska Hargitay, and they got two different versions of it now?
Are you talking about like Law and Order? Like
SVU, that's
okay.
It.
SVU. Yeah,
SVU, that's it.
SVU. You like shows that are on networks, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Like your ABCs, NBCs, mm-hmm.
But it seems
CBS's.
Like as you're naming these shows, these aren't shows you're watching to completion. Like, is there any show that you've actually, like, start to finish the whole series?
Yeah. The last one was when we did the Tiger King.
Well, that's a document. That's like a 10-episode documentary.
Good enough for me.
That was on. That was during Netflix too.
Yeah, I'm talking about like multiple season show, like Breaking Bad.
I ain't got time
or, you
for
know,
all that. No.
Okay.
My weakness is probably music. I would say your weakness is television shows.
Probably true.
Because do you watch any network TV shows?
Not really.
I don't think I watch a single network TV show.
No, not much. I mean, there's a few here and there, but I usually find them afterwards after people have established that it's actually good. But I don't like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Parks and Rec I got on years after, but I almost never watch them as they're airing.
I do like Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
My wife got me on Parks and Rec, but I don't watch them when they're airing either. The last ones I probably watch whenever they're airing is probably like The Office.
I didn't even watch that one as it was airing.
Really? I watched I like The Office. 4187 Todd McShay, another name. Weech Troll says you mean Brooklyn 99.
No, I don't.
That's not it.
It was SVU.
It was SVU.
Todd McShay, is that a good thing?
No, I think it's. I think he means it's another, like,
yeah,
throw it into the
Todd.
Throw it into the pool here.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it into the pool. I would say R. Todd's the best Todd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Todd, R. Todd or Todd Callis?
Ooh.
Of all the Todds, we got a pretty good roster of Todds.
Yeah, because look, I mean, the bar they have to clear is Todd's isn't that high.
Most not.
But Todd Callis and R. Todd here are
especially
both
since
it.
Someone just threw out Todd Marinovich.
Marijanovich?
Yeah, and also just really Weirdovich when he was growing up.
Thanks to his father, right?
Yeah, thanks to his dad.
Cole fan says, my weakness is Modelo. You and me both, brother. All right. The latest mock draft is out from Mel Kiper, the guy who got Todd McShay fired. We're making mock drafts great again. He has the Houston Texans at pick number 42 taking Johnny Football. Johnny Newton falls to 42. The Texans take him. He is their pick. He also has the Texans going with the corner from Michigan, the little small fella at 5'9", Mike Sanristil. I don't know how to say his name. I know Lance was talking about it on Twitter. He seems to be a fan of him. He's small, but he's like can play all over the field, and he's like a playmaker. So it seems like that would be a pretty good haul. That's you get a defensive tackle. I don't know if he's like a one tech though. I think he'd be more of a three tech. But then you get a corner as well. Would you be happy with that second round haul?
I would. If that's the two picks that you the two position groups that you fill, and I'll trust their ability to break down the tape and get the right guys. But if you get come out of the second round with a DT and a corner, I'm good.
Yeah, I like that haul. I'd be totally cool with that haul. Brian, you good with that haul? You get Johnny Football, and then you get the corner from Michigan?
Yeah, I don't know much about the corner from Michigan, but certainly it fits the two biggest positional needs I think they had. I mean, maybe you argue left guard, but still definitely two of the top three. So I'd be happy with that haul.
Okay. Yeah, I would be good with that too. Let's take the let's do our game where you take the pick and then you take the next three. We're eliminating quarterbacks and we're eliminating tackles. Are we eliminating receivers now? That we haven't done this since they traded for Diggs. Let's keep them in the mix.
You want to keep them?
Yeah, because they have sexy names. They have some name appeal.
And Diggs is just a 1 year deal, so I think that's still fair.
Yeah, I mean Ocho wanted us to take Legette.
I'm out on Legette.
All right, so here are the four. You get your pick. You get Johnny Football, Johnny Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois, Kamari Lassiter, the corner from Georgia, Enos Rakestraw Jr., the corner from Missouri, or Malachi Corley, the wide receiver from Kentucky. I actually like all of these guys. I think this is a good foursome here.
I do, too. You said Rakestraw?
Yes.
I'm going to take Rakestraw.
I think that's the way I lean, too.
Yeah, I'm going to take Rakestraw because I think that you have guys that could fill the need at defensive tackle that you've signed in free agency to where I think they can do what they need to do as opposed to relying on Okuda or CJ to do what you need at corner. I'd be totally fine, and I would be extremely happy if you got Rakestraw.
See, I like all four of these. Like, having these options makes me happy that Nick Caserio made that trade. Like, if this is the prospects that you're talking about that are available at 42, great job, Nick Caserio. And I think that, like, you could throw in the Diggs trade here because that was the reward ultimately. Like, you got the second round pick and then you flip the second round pick for Stephon Diggs. So, like, you can throw that into the equation as well. I would go with one of the two corners here. I like Lassiter from Georgia. Rakestraw seems to be falling, which never, like, I put way too much stock in that, where it's a guy who started in the first round a month and a half ago,
you
2 months ago.
A red flag?
And not necessarily a red flag. It's just like, okay, this is a guy who the media types thought more of, and then now that they talk to these general managers more and more,
sure,
they realize that their opinion, the general manager's opinions, are a lot different than the mock drafters' opinions.
Could be when they watch
them
work out, too.
Yeah, I think that I don't think the GMs go as much on workouts than tape.
The tape.
Yeah, I think it's more about the tape, and I think these mock drafters learn more about what the NFL wants or who they like.
But sometimes when you get to all the particulars, if you can do a physical and or when you're looking at some of those things or you see something like in person.
Yeah, but if you're a general manager and you haven't already seen like a guy in person, I don't think you're really doing your job.
Just medicals, though?
I mean, what are you learning from a physical?
Like the fact that there might be something that you didn't know about that's like a long-term or a lingering, I mean, not like a hereditary or a lingering issue
pop up. But usually we hear about that. Like, usually that stuff starts to leak and we hear about it before the time, like, the draft comes.
You might get a bad vibe from an interview with them.
Wasn't Caleb and Marvin Harrison Jr. The two guys that so far they were declining the medicals and the physicals until they did individual.
But does that influence mock drafts?
I think it can, because if you're
missing
something.
If we hear about them.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, at a certain point, if you're zeroed in on a couple of guys, I would think that you're going to find out at a certain point, maybe not early in the process, you find out, hey, this guy's got a history of or had this previous.
Yeah. This one's difficult for me. I'm going to give the slide edge to the Georgia corner, Lassiter. Give me Lassiter, but we're all going corner.
Yeah. Look, if the pick was I picked Rakestraw, but if the pick was Lassiter, I would not be disappointed with that. As long as amongst this group you're taking one of the corners filling your biggest need, I'd be happy with
that.
So
you wouldn't like it if it was Newton? I would be okay if it's Newton.
I would be okay. I'd be slightly less okay, but I'd still be okay overall.
What if it's Corley? What if they take Malachi Corley over Newton, Lassiter, and Rakestraw?
Even less so.
He's guard?
Oh, he's a receiver.
Oh, he's a receiver. No, I don't need a receiver right now there.
Wouldn't that be wild? You make this trade to trade down 19 spots. You use the surplus pick that you got to trade down 19 spots to trade for a rental receiver, and then you draft the receiver with number 42. Very unlikely. I don't see any way they draft a receiver 42. I won't rule out them drafting a receiver in this draft, but at 42 or in the second round or in the second or third round, I think it's highly unlikely.
I would agree. I think if they are in true grow-forward mode, the way they handle the Diggs contract after getting him and what they gave up to get him, I think they're going to look for guys that can still fill a need for this year's team.
713-780-ESPN. Someone said on the text line here that The Gentleman is a good show. Have you
I've watched the movie that it's based upon, but I haven't started
the
Netflix
premise behind it?
Guy Ritchie kind of organized crime. The movie was, and then the show is based upon the movie.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, the movie was it had Matthew McConaughey in it. It was pretty good.
I saw it on whenever I was scrolling through Netflix, but I didn't click on it.
The reviews have been pretty positive for it. I definitely want to start it at some point. Hard to find time.
When did McConaughey do the movie? I don't even recall it.
This was like maybe 4 years ago.
Huh.
What's the black and white one that's out on Netflix? Todd was telling me about that the other day, actually.
What do you mean, black
Ripley.
And white?
Ripley. Netflix. Yeah, I heard some good things.
I've heard good things about that too. I don't really know anything about it though, honestly.
Drive to Survive. Watch that. all right, Brian makes faces on Wednesday. Why is Brian making faces today? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I got to take a few minutes here to tell you about Vanderford Air, and I can't tell you enough about Vanderford Air because you're going to need them at a certain point, or you're going to need someone like them, and if you don't go to Vanderford Air, you're probably going to be sorry you didn't, because Vanderford Air, it's in the name. They take care of your HVAC, your air conditioning. And the best thing that you got going for you is we haven't got to the 100-degree heat yet. So you've got plenty of time to make sure your system is in great working order and that nothing needs to be done before we get to the dog days of summer here in H-Town. That's why you go to Vanderford Air. But there's so many more reasons why I recommend Vanderford Air. It's because they're going to guarantee all the work they do, whether it's a repair or it's going to be a full-blown replacement on a unit. They are going to take care of you with 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That means all the other guarantees go right in line with it. Best value, lowest cost to you. Comfort assurance guarantee that even the temperature is completely where they said it's going to be, and it's going to work at 100% of efficiency. Quality workmanship guarantee. It will work and work well. The performance guarantee operates at factory standards, and of course, that their workmanship is going to be second to none. Best part is they do so much more. They can do your heating, your air conditioning, your plumbing, but they're going to do all of this with the 100% money-back guarantee. That's the way they do business. That's why you go to them. And the other big one is maybe you don't call them to check see if everything's up to snuff, but if something goes wrong in the dog days of summer, you call them, and with 24 hours, they are at your door. They're not going to sit there and tell you, oh, next week, oh, in a couple of days, and you've got to kind of literally sweat it out. Nope. Vanderford Air and their guarantees include 24 hours after you call them, they'll come see you. Check them out today, VanderfordAir.com, or call them. It's really easy to remember. 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL.
WTF, why the face?
Time to look back at some of the WTF moments from the past week. It's WTF Wednesday.
WTF to that.
With the Killer Bees.
That new? That rejoin new? Sounds new.
No, we've used it before, but actually I think we've skipped WTF a couple weeks, so it just may sound new.
Sounds new. All right, why are you making faces today?
Starting off here in the sports world, look, we all have moments where we lose our cool, get a little hot. Maybe we break a television remote. Maybe we have some road rage. Some more than others. We can certainly power rank it here at the station. I think we know who number one is.
Paul?
Yeah, it's Paul. I don't know. Have you guys heard of NASCAR driver Joey Gase? Do you know the name?
No.
I didn't know until I found this article.
He's active?
Very active. And that's part of the problem. Maybe a little too active. So this was a race, the Toyota Care 250 which took place in Richmond on Richmond, Virginia, on Saturday afternoon. On lap 173, Joey Gase was jostling with another driver for position when that driver bumped Gase and sent the guys and sent Gase's car into the wall. Gase was incredibly unhappy about it, which obviously not a surprise. But what he decided to do after that is what's causing the viralness of the story. He let his temper get the best of him and did something he might regret. He actually climbed out of the wreckage of his car, tore off his bumper, waited till that driver who knocked him into the wall came back around, and threw the bumper into that driver's windshield. I'm a pro wrestling fan. I enjoy the moment. I enjoy the drama, but definitely not the safest thing to do out on the racetrack. Jump out of your wrecked car, rip off your bumper, and then throw it at another driver.
So I guess I understand from a safety perspective if the bumper then goes, but these guys are all in their cars. This isn't worse than, like, was it Kurt Busch or Kyle Busch? Which one that loves to fight? But all these guys that wait in the pits, and then whether they use their helmet or not, they just start hauling off and whooping ass on pit row and after races. And it gets like the crews get involved in it, and it's like a knockdown drag out. This kind of stuff happens in NASCAR all the time. That seems kind of tame to me, as opposed to waiting in pit road to throw some dukes.
How many times have you seen people throwing bumpers at each other?
I mean, it's not nearly as bad as what Tony Stewart did.
He killed a guy?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I can take no lies.
Yeah.
No. I kind of like this. I like my athletes and people on my team to be sons of guns. The toughest guy wins. Toughest team wins. Give me a guy who's got a little bit of a little mud in his blood.
You want to hear from Mr. Joey Gase? He had some thoughts after the incident.
Yeah, why not?
Joey Gase checked and released from the infield care center. Joey, we saw the contact going down the front straightaway. Was there anything else that led to that contact prior?
I think him just not having his head screwed on right. You know, I gave the kid his first opportunity ever in Xfinity, and I know Johnny Davis is in the business of wrecking race cars, and we're definitely not. We're small teams and racing hard for the lucky dog, and apparently he just didn't know how to lift. So maybe his throttle stuck. I don't know. Thanks, Joey.
Joey's throttle stuck.
I don't like the part where he's like, I gave him a chance.
Yeah.
I'm the reason for his career.
He's trying to rub it in. He's like, I gave you your first shot, and this is how you repay me?
If you're in a small operation, too, with your crew, do you really want to throw your bumper away?
Yeah, exactly.
Need it.
I don't know who.
I imagine it was ruined.
Yeah.
Like, if he's ripping off a bumper, it's got to be probably pretty flimsy already.
Honestly, of all the safety concerns, I would be most concerned he's going to cut open his finger trying to rip the bumper off more than throwing it at the driver.
This guy looks like he's 16 and he's 31.
They start him young in racing.
He looks like a bootleg version of a golfer.
Of what golfer?
Kind of Will Zalatoris-y, maybe a little
That's
bit.
That's a made-up name.
No, Will Zalatoris is not a made-up name.
Golfer.
He was literally drafted.
I got him on my team for the Masters.
He kind of looks like a little bit. What's the old guy who wore the sunglasses?
Richard Petty?
The tall guy. No, the golfer.
Oh.
He was European. He's kind of blondish. Nah, he always wore sunglasses.
Angel Cabrera?
No, he was whatever. It's Henrik Stenson. He kind of looks like a poor man's Henrik Stenson.
Henrik Stenson?
Like a trailer park Henrik Stenson. Yeah, he always wore like those little like Oakleys, I think.
Huh. Oh, yeah, you're right. The hip sunglasses.
It's like an uglier southwestern version of Henrik Stenson.
So before we move on, you guys got any maybe not so proud moments of where you lost it on the road, a little road wage that you maybe not so proud of?
I'm more of sarcastic. Whenever,
how can you be sarcastic with road rage?
Like, if I cut somebody off and they land on the horn, I like wave at them, like, hey, thank you, appreciate it. One time I played the jingle bells on my horn, like it was Christmas time, and I think I cut somebody off and like they stormed around me and like gave me the finger,
like, beep, told
me
beep,
I
was beep,
so I did the
beep,
jingle
beep,
bells
beep,
on my horn, like they were all in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, like they could actually tell what song
it
was.
Yeah, I don't really get angry. It's more either sarcastic or I'll get annoyed and kind of like do like, hey, that, but I don't think I get road rage per se.
Yeah, I've got tons of road rage.
Anything stand out amongst the others?
One of them was, like, there was a realtor that had those magnets on their door that, you know, call me if you want to sell your house or whatever. And they cut me off and were driving like an idiot. So I called the number and I could see the guy answer the phone.
No.
And I just lit into him and told him that he drives.
So the phone number was for the guy.
Oh, for his cell phone. He answered the phone in the car and I just lit him up.
While you were right behind him?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right, moving on. I think we got time for one more. I don't think this headline will surprise you. This seems pretty par for the course for this part of the country. But headline, Florida man found drunk, naked, and sitting in a garbage can. So check all those boxes off for your typical Florida story. But arguing that he was, quote, not subject to arrest, a Florida man told police that he was allowed to be drunk and disorderly and sit naked in a trash can on a public sidewalk, according to an arrest affidavit. St. Petersburg cops alleged that a man named Wiley James Weeks, who's 35, was intoxicated, check, unsteady on his feet, check, and smelled of booze when they discovered him late Saturday evening on a downtown street. This was Weeks was extricated from the area, sans clothes, from a corner trash can, and arrested for disorderly intoxication. Not his first arrest for something like this. Apparently, one of his prior busts, I know this is shocking, a man who would do this has priors, but one of his prior busts came after Weeks and a male friend of his were spotted drunk and naked on a Tampa street after they exited a bar. The duo told cops that night that they, quote, thought it would be funny to strip off their clothes.
I don't know what's more. The most disturbing thing is this dude's pattern is get bombed and then get naked in public?
Yeah, multiple times. And this last time he wound up like Oscar the Grouch and he put himself in a trash can.
Yeah, and then the trash can part of it from just the whole and the hygiene on top. Like, what are we doing?
I love that he's telling the police that he's not subject to arrest. I mean, he's been through the process before.
Shocker, he's from Florida.
Yeah, maybe he has knowledge of some precedent there to actually make this claim. But yeah, he claims he's not subject to arrest.
What do you think he was drinking?
Mad
Something
Dog?
Strong. Jack?
Well, is it all what tequila makes her clothes fall off song? Like, would it have the same effect to a gentleman by the last name of Weeks?
I was thinking something malt licorice.
Everclear?
Everclear could work.
You think Jack's too expensive?
No.
I mean, if you're getting that hammer, where did you say you lived?
This is, well, St. Petersburg, Florida. St. Petersburg, yeah.
St. Petersburg. I've been to St. Petersburg. It's where the Rays play. St. Petersburg's either really, really rich or really, really poor. I'm imagining this guy's probably not very, like, affluent.
Going by his actions, I would guess he's not affluent, yes.
So I would say that Jack is too expensive.
Yeah, so the Mad Dog is probably Mad better. Dog.
Or that really cheap vodka. You get, like, you know, 50 ounces for $5.
What, like something, like a well drink?
Well, I mean, if you get it from the liquor store, you get the big.
Yeah. Like a handle of it.
I'm imagining he bought stuff at the liquor store, not at a bar. Like, he's getting too drunk to be at a bar. He bought stuff at the liquor store.
That's true.
He brought a handle of vodka.
His prior was coming out of a bar, but this case, it doesn't actually mention what
he was probably the kind of guy that smuggles his booze into the bar.
Could be Mad Dog. Could be vodka. Could be Everclear.
Yeah.
Put Everclear, like, in a little Sonic drink. I can see
what was that crap
doing
that they used to do for happy hour with AJ and the Malort?
We're nuts.
Malort is really cheap and really nasty.
What type of alcohol is that?
I don't know. I want to say
alcohol.
I want to say it was whiskey.
I think it is, but I don't know.
Some bathtub
sure.
Whiskey.
Malort liquor is.
It says that it's a Basque liquor.
Purdue. I know it was a Chicago
B-A-S-K?
Thing.
It's B-S. It's B with the letter A. It looks like a Russian letter, though. Like, it's got the little accent above it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it sounds like a hybrid.
It sounds like it would get you messed up really quickly is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and cheaply, I think.
All right, one more quickly. It's just the headline because whoever wrote this headline should be fired. A man who died in a crash... the headline for the story is crash victim remembered as avid fisherman who made, quote, a lasting impact. You can't write made a lasting impact for a man who died in a crash. Come on, man. You got to do better with your headline.
Yeah, he's fishing. Went out happy.
Yeah, did.
Met a line in the sand.
Hope
or
he
in the
caught
water.
Something.
That's not if that's the last thing you do before you die, that's not so bad.
You die in a crash, you want the headline to be made a lasting impact? Well, yeah, of course you did. You died in an impact.
See what you did there.
Yeah, I like that he was fishing. That's what I'm gonna remember.
Well, he wasn't fishing. He was just an avid fisherman who died in a car crash. And the headline is, he made a lasting impact.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
By the way, Malort is the Swedish word for wormwood, which is the key ingredient.
I think this is a liquor of its own. Like, Basque is a Swedish-style liquor flavored with wormwood. I don't think that's anything we've
Malort's
ever heard
been
of.
Described as infamous and the worst booze ever. Okay.
Is this citrus flavored gasoline?
I hope it does get you hammered quickly because you don't want too much of it.
Oh, those guys were nuts.
Yeah, they were.
They were nuts.
They used to make Trey and all those other guys, and the interns drink it too.
Has the shine come off of Jalen in April? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now, a word for X-Golf and Katie. I think they're the best simulators I've ever been on. They're the best simulators in Houston. They're the only X-Golf simulators, which are used all across the country here in the Houston area. Look them up online, X-Golf Katie, right now. Chris, the owner, he's got 8 bays with these unbelievable simulators. You can play over 50 courses worldwide, and you can also use it like a driving range when the weather is bad and you can't get your tee time, or you want to hit some balls at night, or maybe you and some friends want to get in a quick 18 holes without getting in the carts or walking the course. You can basically get 18 holes in a little more than an hour. It's fantastic. It's fun, and it's the best combination of a sports bar and a golf range all under one roof. Literally, it's those 8 simulators that can give you the most accurate and the best golf practice that you can find indoors, coupled with a great sports bar, great food and beverage, all the TVs, a clean, comfortable environment. It's a whole lot of fun. Check it out. Check them out today. They got leagues starting on Mondays and Wednesday nights right now, and you can still have time to get in. They've got a singles league starting on a Monday night for 18 holes at a time, or they've got a doubles 9-hole scramble league starting on Wednesday nights. It's a phenomenal place. You go there once and you're a golf fan, you're going to be there again and again because you know it's a place you can always go to and get on and hit balls no matter what. Check them out today. Check out X Golf and Katie.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We're going to be at East River 9 tomorrow, first round of the Masters, so come hang out with us. Not a better spot to watch the Masters than out at East River 9. You can play a little bit of golf. It'll be dry up tomorrow, I think. Play maybe off the mats. Hit the range, pickleball out there, and a lot of fun stuff. Plus, they have fantastic food, full bar. Come hang out with us. Watch the Masters tomorrow at East River 9.
Monster TV outside.
Mm-hmm. I wonder when the what time does the main broadcast start? 3? Probably 3. When we go on the air?
3.
Astros play a day game tomorrow, too. 1:30, I think it is, for the Astros tomorrow. So,
you mean 6:05?
Tomorrow, I mean 6:05.
Yeah.
But while we're talking about it in conversation today, they play at 1:10 tomorrow. They play a fast game. We could have an Astros postgame show around 3:30.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe 3:45, mm-hmm. Depending on, well, Hunter Brown's pitching, so 4:30.
They'll do live from the, I mean, they'll do the updates on ESPN during the opening round. I don't think Golf Channel's allowed to do the...
No, they can't, but they have the featured groups on online. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I imagine East River and I will have the featured groups up on the television. Sure. What time is Tiger tee off? I think Tiger tee off is like 1:30.
He's playing with Homa. Yeah, I think that is. I think he's late day one, morning day two.
1:24 Eastern.
Yep.
So 12:30. I might get to East River Night early tomorrow. Hang out, have a bite, watch the golf, watch the Astros. I'm not going to want to be on the road while they're playing, so I might just show up early, hang out with the Killer G's. I'm going to sit away from them, though, so they don't ask me to do anything. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be helpful. I want to watch the game. I want to watch the tournament.
Foul,
you mean you just
them.
Don't want to talk to them?
Foul?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because those guys, Paul, it inhales those chicken sandwiches at East River 9.
Was that a chicken joke, Foul? Yep,
sure was. Joe does it, too. Joe likes the wings.
I like the chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
the chicken sandwich is
really good.
Yeah. Chicken sandwich is so good.
Paulie
I tried
goes
to do
hard on those chicken sandwiches.
I tried to do something else at one time, and it was really good. I think it was the wings and like maybe a burger once as well. Chicken sandwich.
Yeah, the chicken sandwich is off the charts. I tried the fajitas the one time; they were good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely stick. With
I
the
had
chicken
the burger
sandwich.
Out there; it was great, but chicken sandwich.
Yeah, so let's go out there tomorrow. What's the first show out there? Do you know?
We're out there all day.
All day?
Yeah,
okay. Someone
so
on Twitch
all four
asked.
Shows over are out there.
So we'll be there from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep.
So we'll be out there all day. Great spot to not work and go watch some golf. And Astros playing a little bit early, too. Eric says that Masters won't actually get going till after 12. Serious storms coming through Augusta. What's going down at Augusta? That's actually good news because that means that it will delay the period of time that's not allowed to be televised. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of good news. Curious what that does to the course. just softened
up. I think they had one of the guys from the course on earlier this morning, and he was saying that it's obviously going to soften it up a little, but that they felt like overall it wasn't going to be that big of an advantage. They were actually obviously disappointed that they don't want any rain. They love where the course is at right now, but it's not going to be like, was it last year that they had rain for, I think, two of the rounds? Tiger actually quit because I think more so than anything else, he didn't want to keep playing in a deluge of rain, and he was sucking.
Quit. I don't think Tiger would like using the word quit.
He quit. If you watch it, he quit.
It's better than being hospitalized the last time he was in a golf tournament. Blaine says, where can I get Will Doctor's picks again? Straight out of Vegas. Search that on your podcast, but do it at 6:05. Don't do it now. Of course, don't do it now. Rockets. Actually, I want to read this text real quick. They're talking about the road rage. 6860. Worst feeling is when someone cuts you off and you're ticked, then they wave. That's why I do it.
What Branham does.
That's exactly. I like to get under people's skin. I like to troll. That's my MO. That's my shtick. When was the last time you used your horn? The last time. I used mine 2 days ago.
Oh my! It has to be daily with me.
Every day?
Pretty much almost every day.
Jeez.
You're getting mad at someone to the point of honking at them every single day?
Well, a lot of it is because the idiots are on their phone and you get a green light and they're in front of you and they're not going. And you're like, okay, come on. Maybe you're not in. I know the whole world revolves around you and your phone, but let's go.
Important question. How long do you wait before you honk? If someone's at the green light and they don't go, how long are you waiting, giving the courtesy before you honk?
5 seconds.
5 seconds? Yeah. That's more than fair.
That I doubt it. I don't believe that. I don't think you give him 5 seconds.
I it depends on the rest of the traffic. If it's like wall to wall traffic and the car in front of me isn't going, I'm waiting. Going, come on, let's go. I mean, I'm not counting it out like a lane violation, but I'm telling you, it's about 5 seconds.
I've heard some people, they say they only wait 1 second, which to me is egregious. To me, it's 3 seconds. Like, there's an obvious pause where you're clearly not paying attention.
If you can see what they're doing and they're on their phone, I'll do it right away. Because they don't know how long.
If you can see that, but I mean, how often can you actually
see? Pretty often.
If you're behind them, you can see with their own phone.
Oh yeah, because it's like it's right here in front of their face. Or like sometimes you look out on the side. Yeah, for sure.
Last night it's not dark out when we go home anymore, but last night when I got into my neighborhood, it was dusk, and you definitely could see the light of the phone at the light. And I'm like, okay, come on. I mean,
okay, if you can see the phone, then I'm fine with the 1 second. But otherwise, I think it's three. I think three.
Yeah, I go three.
Yeah,
I do go the lane. I mean, I'm not sitting there doing the things like officials do, but I get a little one Texas, two Texas, three. I go a little three Texas.
Yeah, because they could be doing something like, you know, adjusting a seat, adjusting a radio, and then look down, look right back.
Could have done that when the light was red.
Gone. Huh?
Could have done that when the light was red.
Well, they started the act. They started the act while it was red.
That's what I'm saying. Like if it's within 3 seconds, that's, you know, you look up, oh, it's green, I go. But if it's 5 seconds, then you certainly deserve a honk.
I'm a little worried about you using it daily, though. I think it might be a you problem.
Oh, there's no doubt. Lisa's extremely concerned now that we have kids. That she's like, you know, I want you to be around for quite a while. I don't think that you can do that anymore. I hate to say it, but when you're not in the car, I'm doing it a lot.
3312. You don't honk nowadays because you may get shot.
It's true.
9499. So you're the guy.
Fade every day then.
Who insta honks on green? The one that I used it the other day, youngish female, probably in her 20s, maybe. It was through a gas station actually, and she was at the pump, and I was driving safely. At a very reasonable speed, like 5-10 miles per hour, not going fast if you're in a gas station parking lot right by the pumps. And as I'm going, I see her pull out and just doesn't look. And I mean, almost hits me. So I mean, I let her know. I let her know that I was there. Somebody needed to let her know that I was there. In fact, I was helping her because I don't want this poor young lady to make this mistake again. I was doing it out of the kindness of my heart so she doesn't have this issue again and maybe gets in a wreck, maybe gets injured. So the reason that I honked in my horn, not because I was showing disgust in any way, I was just helping her out. I was being a good Samaritan. Yeah, I was doing it for the kindness.
When you do this, are you like a tap of the horn guy? Are you a lay? I have a feeling that Joel is a lay on the horn guy.
No,
you're just a quick.
No, tap. I don't lay on it. But I will give you like the first one is more courteous, especially if it's just possible they lost track of time with the real quick one. But if it's something like you're on your phone, it's not. I'm not laying on it, but I'm giving you a solid.
What if they cut you off?
It's a different story. There's a lot of gestures and things going on. It's not the fingers. There's a lot of gestures.
Show us the gestures.
There's the lingam.
Oh, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, now you took your hands off the wheels. Now you're in a little bit of trouble.
But that's fine. I can control it with my knee.
Oh.
That was not a good thing to say in front of my wife one day, though, when Taylor's like, Mom, you know, Dad's excellent at driving the car with his knee. I'm like, no.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, I've done that before.
The one that really pissed me off was I was at a red light turning right onto a highway. And there was like a high school or a college couple. And they don't, you can turn right on red, obviously.
Sure.
They get out of the car, the guy's in the passenger seat, and he gets out, and he's like looking to see if there's something on the back wheel or something like that. And it's taken, and it's taken. And I'm like, there's been plenty of opportunities still, but I'll wait. They get back in the car, the light is green, there's plenty of opportunity to turn, and they're still sitting there. Now I'm sitting there for a couple of minutes, now I'm laying on it.
Yeah, I'm moody, so it depends on my mood. But if I'm like in solid spirits, it would just be a quick little tap, like, hey, heads up. Never usually like I'm mad at them.
Oh, they started flipping off and going. I was like,
but if I'm a little bit grumpy and like it's an egregious cutoff, I'm more lay on the horn and leave it there for a little bit.
I will lay on the horn when it's there. I think we all have triggers, the things that annoy us most in the road. Like mine is when we have these situations where you have multiple highways and they're merging off. And so, like, the main part of the highway is down to two lanes. Yeah. And you're waiting your turn to get through this part where it opens back up and it's a full highway. And someone tries to come down the exit lane all the way down and they cut over at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one.
I used to be a roadblock of justice and I would, like, park in the shoulder and not let anybody by. But then I was like, it's a good way to die. Yeah. So I better stop doing
this.
No,
I've done that before.
Yeah, it's a zipper. It's a zipper. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. It's a zipper. Merge lanes are a zipper. You go 1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah, easy. There's nothing more infuriating than you're like car 16 getting off on the exit ramp and it's totally full and the car stays in the second left lane or second right lane and gets all the way up to the front of the line and at the last minute just darts over and cuts off all 16 people.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean,
I think I get more mad at the people that let them over though.
Same.
Yeah, but I don't think in the case I'm talking about, people aren't letting him over. They just maybe start the gas pedal a little late.
Maybe.
And the car just
I'm not a fan of people not using their blinkers.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
sure.
I'm not saying every time. Like, we all, you know, there's nobody behind us. There's nobody that needs to know you're turning. Like, you're in open space. You're the only car around. Like, okay, you don't use a blinker there. I know legally you're supposed to. That's not what I'm talking about. But, like, you're on the highway, and they're trying to merge over into your lane, and they just do it. And it's like, come on, man. Give me a little heads up. I would have let you in. Just show me a little bit of love. Show me a little bit of blink action, and you can join my lane.
Blink action.
You can join my lane, but you don't give me the blinker, and then I give them one of these numbers where I'll kind of like flex and extend my hand. But like, hey, show me your blinker.
It also comes kind of, you know, gropey a little bit.
You cut me off without using your blinker, and I want to grope you. You think that's what the message that they're you think that's what they're taking
saying,
the message as?
Be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Be careful.
Yeah.
You
don't want to give the wrong message.
What's the danger? They're going to pull over and be like, here you go.
No.
What are you talking about?
The danger is you were being reported as the aggressor.
I don't think this is aggressive.
I'm just saying.
There's a lot more aggressive than that.
I'm more having fun with him.
AR Platinum always brings this one up. The how to turn at a median concept, like when you're turning at a inlet in the middle.
You go to the back part.
You go to the furthest part to turn, and most people go to the closest part. Yeah,
yeah. Slow people in the fast lane. That's another one.
That's bad.
Another one that annoys me, I've seen this a lot, where you're, like, especially in a parking lot situation, there's one near me, where, like, parts of the parking lot, depending on what direction you have going, have a stop sign, the other parts don't. People who don't have the stop sign, when they get to where you are at the stop sign, will stop and then try to let you through. Just follow the regulations of what we're trying to do here. You're causing more chaos and confusion than just by going through and following the signs as intended.
You know, you're 100% right. There are a lot of driving annoyances.
They think they're being courteous, but they're just causing more confusion and chaos.
Here's a deep one, though.
Okay.
You know that whenever we get into our vehicles and drive, and a lot of us drive in Houston, there is not one example that we trust people more with our own lives than hopping in a car and driving in a city. Because anybody could just turn right into you. Anybody could turn right into you at any time. So you're putting so much trust, like at a red light, you're putting trust that other people are going to stop, right? Whenever your light turns green, their light turns red.
Yeah.
You're putting a lot of trust into people when you're on the road.
I think that I see it every day in two different highways out in Sugar Land, where nothing could be more true in the fact that that light has been red for a couple of seconds, and it is inevitable someone's late, two couple cars late for work. If you don't look, even if you have a green light, if you don't look and you are in complete right, you could get crushed.
Yeah, that's not a good one. Also, big rigs in the left lane. That's the absolute worst.
Here comes
Dr. Dre. Absolute worst. Don't be in the left lane.
I don't see that often,
traffic,
though.
You big rigs.
I don't see that often, though.
Right. Oh, it's more frequent than you think.
It's a bad one when you do. It's a bad one when you do.
Has the shine off of Jalen Green started to wear off? And I think the Rockets are halfway to being a playoff team. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.